3. The Greys hid, as best they could, on the icy white field, crouching behind the random nooks and crannies folded into the landscape. By the cut of their uniforms and the odd square lip at the bottom of their helmets, they gave themselves away as Germans. In a poised fist, one man held a grenade shaped like a hammer. Two snipers stretched out on their bellies, peering through the sights to await the foe. On the white hills above the ambush site, a squad of green Americans marched to their doom. The radio man's antenna had snapped off in some ancient skirmish. The minesweeper kept falling over on the soft surface. 5 o'clock on a December Sunday, and the dusk concealed the soldiers. A war cry, startling in its whooping ferocity, broke the stillness, and from the horizon, a band of Red Indians swarmed onto the scene. Charging on red ponies, reins in their teeth, a pair of braves drew back their bows. The arrows whistled softly in long arcs and fell true. The gray captain gulped his last surprised breath as the arrowhead pierced his heart. One by one, the army men turned in dumb shock at the unexpected arrival of the reinforcements, their savage intensity. From the pillows, the Americans cheered and huzzahed as they returned fire, launching grenades like winter hail. The kneeling bazooka man blasted around and bodies flew in all directions. In their feathered headdresses, their mohawks and latticed breastplates, the warriors scrambled over the quilt, their hatchets raised with gleeful, murderous intent. Men fell through the ice and cried out, full of panic in the frigid waters. At the height of the massacre, the bedroom door opened swiftly, throwing a rectangle of light from the hall against the far wall and illuminating the boys inside. With a fistful of plastic Indians raised in midair, Jack Peters stared at the figure on the threshold. He froze, bewildered, as if awakened from a deep sleep. His shadow on the wall was as still as the toy soldiers strewn across the bed. His mother kept her hand circled around the doorknob and stood halfway in the room, her gaze intent upon her son. "Boys, it's getting late. Shall we send Nicholas home?"